Welcome to Season 3 of I'll Go If You Go, a Save the Redwoods League podcast. We're building community and illuminating how Californians from all walks of life think about and experience nature and conservation in the Redwoods and beyond. I'll Go If You Go, because when we explore together in community, the experience is all the more powerful. Oh, hey, welcome to another episode of I'll Go If You Go. This is your host, Emily Hartwitz. You're probably familiar with the terms queer and ecology, but what about queer ecology? Yes, there are gay penguins and parrotfish that can change sex, but that's only a drop in the bucket. Queer ecology is about challenging binary thinking, such as an animal is either predator or prey, male or female, good or bad. It opens us up to experiencing nature as a liminal space or a place where things aren't fixed but constantly changing. We'll get more into liminality later in the episode because I love the word and I think it's a cool concept. Queer ecology also asks us to reevaluate relationships in nature. There is no real hierarchy. Redwoods, for example, are the tallest trees in the world, but they're not competing with each other to be the tallest ones. Instead, redwoods in a forest actually share resources with each other through their vast underground system of interconnected roots. And it's the bigger, older trees that are the hubs of these networks, sharing nutrients with the younger trees that need them. Through sharing and cooperating with each other, redwoods help make the entire forest ecosystem healthier. You know where I'm going with this. Sharing and cooperating is how we humans build community too. In nature, there's a niche for every creature, and diversity makes an ecosystem more resilient, sure, but also more beautiful. And that's exactly the same for human societies, because you know what? Humans are part of nature too, and all humans are natural. Here to enlighten us more is today's guest, Max Sovine. Max works at Queer Life Space, a small San Francisco-based nonprofit providing mental health services for the queer community, where they just launched a new project, Outlandish, which will bring queer youth out into awesome parks and recreational areas in the Bay Area. Max recently graduated with a master's degree in ecology, spirituality, and religion from the California Institute of Integral Studies. Drawing from their experiences as an outdoor educator, death doula, hospice volunteer, firefighter, and EMT, they focus on ways to confront and change the Western capitalist aversion to nature and death. Max also coordinates retreats at the Buddhist Spirit Rock Meditation Center. Max, welcome to I'll Go If You Go.
Hello, I'm really happy to be here.
Yay! Is there anything else you'd like listeners to know about you?
Let's see. I'm non-binary. My pronouns are they, them. I'm a massive David Bowie fan. And random fact, me and some friends hatched and raised an emu in our dorm in college in undergrad. We had a baby emu living in our dorm. That was like one of my proudest achievements.
Wow. Oh, where's that emu now?
I think if she's still alive, she's living on a farm in Wisconsin somewhere, living her best life.
Well, cheers to her. Have you been outside yet today?
A little bit. I've been mostly working from home, but I did step outside. We have a little beautiful garden space right in front of our front door, and we have a bird feeder there, and it's overgrown with trees that are just starting to bloom with flowers, and it's quite intoxicating being out there, and just sat out there for a minute just to like ground into the day, and it was fabulous.
Oh, that sounds lovely. So speaking of the outdoors, can you tell me about your personal history with the outdoors?
Well, it started fairly young. I was really lucky when I was a kid, and I was able to go to some summer camps for like a week or so as I grew up. And they were based out, well, I'm from Wisconsin. So pretty much if you're in Wisconsin, you're either in the forest or you're in the farmland if you're not in a city. So there's a lot of forest. And so the camp I went to was primarily in this forest on a lake. And so it was just every summer I got a week or two where I could run around the woods and be my wild feral self. That was extremely formative to my passion for being in nature, because it was really the first place I felt truly accepted for myself and not judged. And even though the kids I went to camp with, I made some friends, but I just didn't quite get along with the girls in my cabin because I was a little too weird and too tomboyish and a little too, well, at the time, queer, but I didn't know that was a thing then. And so it was my haven, was to be out in the woods and to be in the lake and anywhere I wasn't inside, essentially.
I'm just imagining that as you're telling the story, and I feel peaceful inside just hearing that. I guess you answered this a little bit. I'd like to know more specifically, what experiences have been fundamental to shaping your outlook on nature and your desire to pursue a career related to the outdoors?
Well, after, as I got older, you know, entered high school and then into college age, I drew upon my experiences as a kid in the outdoors as like, okay, I see this as a place where I felt comfortable being myself and where I could be around trees and animals and moss and fungi and not feel judged or made fun of. And so drawing upon that, and then I look and see what kids, you know, what kids are going through now and then. And I just inherently knew that this was something that was really important. I felt that outdoor education was such a solid and wonderful way to do good work in the world and be outside as much as possible. And getting paid for it really helped too.
Yeah. I would love to hear more about Outlandish. What is it?
So Outlandish is a fledgling program under the umbrella of Queer Life Space. And Queer Life Space is an organization I work part-time for. And they provide low-cost mental health support for folks in the Bay Area who are in the queer community. And about a year ago, I talked to my executive director and I had this idea like, you know, I've worked for many outdoor programs when I was in my 20s, and usually I was like the token queer kid, whether I was a participant or employee. And I always felt it was just something that needed to be addressed, the accessibility and the representation in the outdoors with queer people or openly queer people. And so this idea had been kind of brewing in the back of my mind for a while. And once I started working for Queer Life Space, they're very open to new ideas and programs like this. So I talked to my director about it and said, what if I could put together a project where I take kids outside for like a day trip here and there? And I mean, the Bay Area, we're just like, we're incredibly lucky here in the Bay Area. There's the Oakland Hills, there's the ocean, there's the hills of Marin, there's the redwoods that are just like everywhere here. So he gave me the green light. And so I've been slowly piecing together this project and, you know, drawing on my reserves. And like the more people I tell this project to, the more excited folks are. So I feel really supported by folks who are like y'all at Save the Redwoods and friends and family members who are just really excited about this idea and want to support it and help in some way. So that's been really encouraging. And this momentum is just getting really big and really excited about it.
Oh, I'm excited about it too.
Thank
what
you.
Do you hope to accomplish with Outlandish? And like, what do you envision for the future?
Yes, yeah, so I envision getting a ragtag group of queer kids, you know, from 13 to 18 year old, you know, going out a couple times a month and helping them. It's kind of a multi-layered thing because you have, you know, just the simplicity of them finding community, like meeting kids from other parts of the Bay or just other schools or just, you know, like, oh, other kids who are kind of like me and a little bit different. And we can all do just be together and be outside. And then also, you know, bringing them outside and the opportunity to get them really immersed in the environment and, you know, have a few lessons on ecology here and there. And like you were saying, the interconnectedness of everything and really bring it in a more tangible way to them rather than just something they read in a textbook. And also by having, you know, myself as well as some other adult volunteers along, like seeing positive queer adult role models, you know, we're out here, we're living our lives, we're open, we're out. And, you know, whether we want to say fabulous or not, but just for the kids to see that, I think it would be such a really cool thing because I didn't have that when I was a teenager. I didn't have a queer adult role model in my life. And I wish I had, but, you know, I am who I am today because of the way that things happened. And so it worked out okay in the end, but it would have been a really, really amazing experience to have someone who is like, hey, you might be fitting into this community here, and here are some ways that you can find support as you navigate your life experiences.
Yeah, that sounds like a really lovely, wonderful experience. Last year, I learned the term possibility model.
Ooh.
And I think it's so helpful just to see people who are living their lives in ways differently than you. And it's not like a role model where, oh, I want to be exactly like that person. It's just, mm-hmm. It's possible to live a life that looks like this. And it just opens up, I mean, all the possibilities, you know? So that sounds like a really wonderful aspect of that program. And yeah. What would success look like for you with Outlandish? Like we have these queer youth out in nature, connecting with each other, learning about ecology, and then what?
Oh, it would be cool to eventually do an outing every weekend and have enough kids interested and enough volunteers where there can be, yeah, every weekend of every month would be, and to keep it accessible, as in the price range. You know, I'm starting the price range at like $0 up to 40 suggested donation because it's like, it's so important that anyone who wants to participate can go on these excursions and not worry about, you know, paying a certain amount of money, especially in the Bay Area where everything is so expensive here. And so that would be success. And even greater success would be to have a program similar to this or sister programs everywhere across the country. And that is excessively desperately needed right now in this climate we're living in with the anti-trans stuff. And just, we all know just the intensity, the increasing intensity that's happening with that right now.
It sounds like at this point in your life, you have a pretty strong community. It also sounds like it wasn't always like that for you. Mm-mm. Could you tell me more about how you found and built your community?
Yeah, it's a couple different ways. Some of my biggest communities are actually through music, through bands, you know, because you find friends who are into the same bands and you're like, oh my gosh, I love that. But the community I've built over the years has been, well, I'll talk locally specifically because I'm here in the Bay Area, but you know, through school was a huge help, but also through getting immersed in, I don't know, you find things to do that interest you. And then you find other people who love the same thing you do, whether it's hiking or volunteering or beach combing or whatever it is.
Yeah. So it sounds like looking for communities with a shared interests and also shared values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
What does it look like to build community in the outdoors?
Accessibility, especially, you know, as someone who's queer, like it's, I have so many articles I've read, you know, partially for my degree and partially out of my own interest. I've seen these like wonderful pictures of like drag queens and people in drag who are like going outside in their heels and their makeup and wigs and like out on a hiking trail, mm-hmm. you know, and just kind of like claiming that space for the community. And I know that, you know, kind of a similar vein as far as like BIPOC people who are also claiming hiking trails and national parks in that space. And then there's a lot of overlap too between those two communities. And it's been this really amazing movement, this like just below the surface movement that's been growing steadily over the last decade of building that community and taking it beyond the cities and out into the wild areas more. You know, social media and internet really helps with that because we have those resources that we can share with people and the pictures and the stories. It's really the stories that connect us and help inspire us to have that community and find it when we need it too.
Something else you did recently was completing a master's in ecology, spirituality, and religion at CIIS. That sounds like a really fascinating program. And I'm wondering, how did that shape your relationship to the outdoors and your approach to outlandish programming?
So I ended up at CIIS because, well, first, before I moved to the Bay Area, I was living in Olympia, Washington, and I was working at, I worked at REI, and that was fun. I did that for a few years, and I got to teach classes through the store, in-store classes, and about backpacking and kayaking and camping and that sort of thing, and I really enjoyed teaching about those sort of skills. But then I found the CIIS program, Ecology, Spirituality, and Religion, so we moved to the Bay Area in January 2020.
Oh my
wasn't
gosh.
The best. Timing. I'm moving. Yeah, we moved to the Bay Area. My partner and I were so excited. And then COVID, as we all know. But even though my education got moved online, I still got a lot out of it because it was not just studying ecology and just studying outdoor education like I did when I was an undergrad, but it was adding this spiritual dimension to studying ecology, which I just was just my jam. It's completely my jam. Because what we focused on was how a few centuries ago, at least in particular Western culture, how, you know, a bunch of primarily white dudes got together and decided that humans and nature were separate, that humans were better than nature, and that nature was subservient to humans. And since then, we're living with the consequences of it. That's where climate change is coming from, is that attitude. So that was the heart of my degree of study, was like seeing how that split happened between humans and nature, and then understanding that you're not going to solve climate change with capitalism. You're not going to solve it with purely intellectual solutions. It has to be a heart and a mind approach. It has to be not, that's what the integral part is. It's not just better batteries on your, you know, EV car or better solar panels. It's also changing the heart and how we approach our relationship with nature and seeing that it's pretty much what the indigenous cultures have been saying the whole time. And so we're trying to bring that all back together and integrate heart and mind and spirit and human and nature and human and bring it all back as a whole, as a healthy whole. So that's the kind of the philosophy I have coming into Outlandish. as well as just like my own background with outdoor education and, you know, being really interested in being a mentor role model for queer kids, just because I kind of want to pay that forward in a way that I never had it as a youth. So I want to be that person, if I can, to kids who are coming up in these times and coming out. So it's just kind of this whole kit and caboodle I'm putting together for this program. That's not to say, you know, we're going to go on these outings and, you know, sit around and talk about God and nature. I mean, I would love to do that. But if it naturally comes up in conversation, awesome. Otherwise, you know, we'll talk about the mycelium and how it like connects the whole forest. And, you know, like you were saying with the redwoods and how they all work together to be healthy together, and how that metaphorically applies to human society and how we're going to get through these crazy, intense, increasing times of climate change as a unit, and not this whole rugged individualism BS, you know, that lie that's been sold to us for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been nodding my head. First shaking my fist and then nodding my head.
Mark your calendars for California State Parks Week from June 14th through the 18th. With special community events, in-person and virtual programming, California State Parks, Save the Redwoods League, Parks California, and the California State Parks Foundation invite you to celebrate the amazing diversity of our state parks and the people who visit them. Visit caparksweek.org to learn more and find your local Redwood Park event. We hope to see you there.
So last time we spoke, you said that being queer is liminal, and I love that choice of words. And you also said that all of nature is liminal space. Can you tell me, how would you describe queer, and how would you define liminal, and what do you mean by that?
I think they're quite synonymous for each other, really, because liminal is about the transition between one thing to another, or it's the space in between. And queer, to me, is beyond just what your sexuality is and what your gender is and what your sex is. It's anything that doesn't quite fit into a tidy little box of one or the other. It's something that challenges conventionality and maybe oppressive traditional thinking. And you can apply, you could say anything's queer, from music to art to the way you express yourself to the books you read. I mean, it's really whatever goes outside of the lines that are dictated by society at large in a way that is authentic and genuine to who you are as a person and a being and a citizen of Earth. So blending that with liminal, which is about being outside of those lines that are defined by society, it just like really fits with that. And nature itself, I mean, I read this wonderful thing recently that someone was saying, I think it was about, they were using this analogy in an application to, you know, transgendered people being either male or female, or non-binary being, you know, male or female or somewhere between, is that you have day and you have night, but you also have dawn and dusk. So you have that space that's in between. You have sunsets and you have sunrises, and you have, you know, there's the forest and then there's the meadow, and there's that space that's between the forest and the meadow where there are maybe a few trees or maybe some prairie grasses are growing at the edge of the forest. And there's always that transitional space, or the ocean and the shore. There's just never really like a hard, clear line between one thing or the other. There's always that space in between where we dwell. And I feel like that's where the really exciting things happen. Inside and outside.
Yeah, that is. And I studied chemistry, and chemistry, you know, like the fundamental unit of matter, you have like your atoms, and then you have your cloud of electrons. And whenever we first learn about the structure of an atom, you see like the rings, and you can draw the shells, and you can place your electrons in these shells. But really, there's no way to tell exactly where an electron is. It's just this cloud. And you can say, okay, it's probable that it's within this space, but there is an inherent uncertainty in even like what you might think is the most fundamental way of like knowing about how matter is put together. It's like most of what we are is a space between.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Exactly.
What are you excited about right now?
I mean, other than outlandish, because I'm just like thrilled to bits it's going to happen.
I guess it's a multi-layered question. What are you excited about right now with outlandish, and then also what you're seeing happening in the outdoors?
I'm excited to put outlandish out into the world. It's kind of to say it's my baby, I suppose. But yeah, I've worked for outdoor programs over the years, but I've never actually put my own together. And so this feels very adult. I feel very adulting here doing this thing, but it's very cool because I feel so supported. And, you know, I'm a little nervous to do it because it's so close to my heart and I'm sharing it with the world. But I think it's going to go really well. And I think there's going to be a lot of great interest in it. And for the outdoors, for one thing, I'm really glad that we still have a Democratic president who believes in nature conservation and climate change. That makes a big deal compared to the previous administration. And all of these different organizations I've been learning about as I've been putting Outlandish together, like Save the Redwoods. I was a little familiar with your program before you reached out to me, but then I've been reading through the website and seeing the work that y'all have been doing and just like, and all these other similar veined organizations all up and down the West Coast. It's really exciting, just like, and the way that I'm realizing more the potential of how we can all band together to work together too, to help with whether it's conservation or protection along those lines. So there's just so much potential and possibility. As things get more dire with climate change, it just means we have to bind together more and work together, like the network of forests, like the mycelium and how we all feed each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It is really exciting to see so many people and different groups who are coming together and in their own ways, holding space for people in the outdoors. And then, yeah, one of my biggest hopes with this podcast is that anyone who's listening to this can hear about these people like you and these organizations and either join them if they're in the area or maybe start their own, you know, inspired by, like, hearing stories about how folks like you have created their own communities. I keep saying create, but it's more like you've created this space for people to come together and to, like, building space for people to be in community with each other in the outdoors and with nature as well. And like to really feel our place in nature, I guess. Yeah. And it does feel like it's a movement.
It is much needed movement at last. Yeah. I think it just, people have been fighting for this for so long, but it feels, I don't know, maybe just because we're alive in this time, but more urgent than ever that we do the work, man, and see and just find another alternative to this incessant, unrelenting capitalistic belief that everything has unlimited growth. It's just not realistic and it's not sustainable. And we have to find another way. And I think it's possible. I think it's possible. So I'm going to continue to be optimistic.
Woo! Well, that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us today, Max.
Thank you. This was really fun.
And I can't wait to see what is in store for Outlandish's future.
Yeah, bright future indeed. That's how I'm thinking.
That was Max Sovine with Outlandish, which will be having its first outings this summer. We'll post a link to the Outlandish website in the show notes. For me, one of the big takeaways of today's episode is that diversity, mutual support, and cooperation are key for building a healthy, thriving community, human or otherwise. I like thinking about nature as a liminal space, a place where I can go and be my ever-evolving self on the ever-changing landscape and be welcomed just as I am and just as I will be. I have so much fun making this podcast, and I would love to know more about all of you listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, please let us know by leaving a review wherever you stream this. And follow us on Instagram at AllGoFugoPod for extra content. See you next time. Whenever I'm having a hard day, I know that I can just go on a walk and look at the hawks flying and look at the trees and just feel like it's okay. Well, of course, everything is important, but nothing is that big of a deal.
Yeah, I like to say we feel refreshingly insignificant.